welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Just changing everything that I was going to do. You guys carry on. I want you to carry on in worship. You can sit, some of you already sat. Or you can be on your face before God. Just carry on worshipping Him as I speak. Let these words be part of our worship. We may even just go back into worship and come back to word. Sometimes the danger with sitting down for the sermon is you sort of sit down and switch off. It's always a danger in sitting, isn't it? So, oh, it's over to somebody else now. I want you to remain fully engaged what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. So continue to worship Him. You might want to close your eyes so you're not distracted by anything around you. Hallelujah. But yes, if you guys could continue to stand with me and just carry on in worship. Let's do it together. I can do nothing apart from the Father. So where does that fit with what I spoke on last week? I am enough. I can do nothing apart from the Father, says Jesus. And yet we're speaking out, I am enough. And it is right, and it is true, and it is according to God's word. So, how are these two things held? Hallelujah, Jesus. It's Paul writing to us. It's from the book of Colossians. Is his answer as to why you're enough. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Now that's easy, probably, to take on board, that in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. And Jesus was here. He was both fully man and fully God. And I suppose it's easy to take hold of that Jesus was God. When I say it's easy, I mean it's the whole struggle of becoming a Christian, whether you believe Jesus is God or not. But if you've made that decision to follow Jesus, if you've made that decision to say yes to Him and to follow Him, you are a Christian. And so it's no longer hard to believe that in Jesus is the fullness of God. But the next verse even when we're used to it should really blow our minds. Go back to verse 9, the one I just read. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you, that's Paul writing to all who believe in Christ, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In other words, if you are in Christ, which means anybody that is a Christian, anybody that's met with Jesus at the cross moves on to living in Christ, because that is a grace thing. You can't make that happen. You made the decision, but you can't make yourself a Christian. You can't come to church and make yourself a Christian. In the same way you can't go to McDonald's and make yourself a hamburger. It's impossible. The only thing that makes you a Christian is God Himself. But as He does that, He says He gives you the fullness in Christ. But in Christ, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. So if you are full in Christ, all the fullness of God lives in you in bodily form. This is why we can say, I am enough. In Christ, I am enough. The words in Christ are essential. Without Jesus, we're like Jesus said, I can do nothing. That means nothing of lasting fruit for the kingdom. Nothing worth doing, basically, Jesus is saying. But in Christ, I am enough. The only problem for some Christians is if we add the words in Christ, they immediately think there's something that they've got to attain to. There's something they've got to strive for. There's something they've got to reach out to. And the truth is, you are in Christ. So you can actually say, I am enough. The fullness of God dwells within you. I'm going to go back a couple of verses just to see how Paul got to this incredible statement that the fullness of God dwells in us in bodily form. Because if what he's saying is what he's saying, we are the same as Jesus when we're walking on this planet. Same as Jesus. And anything we see contrary to that is just where we've got in the way, or not believed, or most commonly have been pushed back through fear and through shame, which is what we were looking at last week, of feeling not good enough. You are good enough. I am enough. Jesus has made it so at the cross. You will never make yourself good enough. You never could make yourself good enough, but you have been made good enough. It is your status. It is your badge. The Bible puts it a much nicer way. It says you are holy and you are righteous. It doesn't just say you are good enough. That kind of sounds defeatist. Well, I'm good enough. It means you've met the mark. You have been placed in heaven if you trust in Jesus. This is how Paul gets to that. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This is very basic instructions as to how to live in everything Christ has for you. You have to continue. I suppose that's fairly obvious. If you walk away from God, you won't walk in the fullness. So you need to continue to live in Him. But you are enough to continue to live in Him. Because sometimes it just feels like it's too much. But that's why we have a whole series called It's Beyond Me. Or as Lizzie called it this morning, It's Way Beyond Me. It is way beyond us. Except that in Christ I am enough. We are going to be put into many, many situations where it will feel beyond us. But the truth is, I am enough. It's a marvelous message. This is what grace is. It's not about whether you failed or succeeded. It's not about how good you are at doing things. It's you are in this position. this is where you, and you may not be in a very good position, but you could only ever start from where you're at. Talking with somebody this week, it's like you can see that your destination is London, perhaps. You're going on a journey to London. So you decide to get the train from York. But you're in Scarborough. You know the train from York goes to Scarborough. Sorry, the train from York goes to London. So you never get started because you're not in York. You can see you need to be over there to get to London. And you give up. But you've got to buy a ticket for the Trans-Pennine Express. You've got to go from Scarborough because you're in Scarborough. You can't start from York. And it sounds nonsense when you talk of it like that, but that's so often how we live our Christian life. Oh, I need to be in York. I should be in York. I'm not in York. I've failed. And fear and shame comes upon us. I'm not good enough. You are enough. You just got to start from Scarborough. You just got to start from where you're at. So if this past week has been a week of success and victory, it's where you start from. But if it's been a week of failure and rejection, that's where you're going to start from. You can't do anything else. And even if you start with success, you begin that journey in grace and mercy. And if you start from failure, you begin that journey in grace and mercy. So nothing disqualifies you. Continue to live in Him, says Paul. Continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him. When you see a huge tree growing, you know that the bit you can't see is the mass of roots deep down in the soil. And if a tree doesn't have those roots, it would be blown over in a storm or wither and die because it wouldn't be able to take in the nourishment. And from that small sapling, it had to have the roots. You have to let your roots grow. What are they? Well, what are roots for? They're for taking in nourishment from the soil. So it speaks of getting into the Word of God and making it part of your life. If you don't, your root system will be weak. And it'll be more difficult, but you've still got to start from where you're at. Maybe you feel like you're a tree with no roots. Well, that's where you're at. Let's start growing them. That's fine. You are enough for today. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught. So you're hearing things that you've been taught. I'm teaching this morning. You have to strengthen yourself in them. That's the only way for those roots to be good. You will not be strong enough just by listening to a Sunday morning talk, or maybe even coming twice a week on Thursday nights as well and hearing whatever's said then. You will not be strong enough just by the worship of Sunday morning. Sometimes it feels like it's beyond me. Yeah, it is. That's okay, because you start where you're at. You are enough. I am enough. I don't think I could ever do... Let's imagine a person called Gerald. I could never be as spiritual as Gerald. He reads his Bible so much. He prays so much. But that's like trying to start in York. You can't start in York, in Gerald. You start where you are. You're just you, with all the glories and failures that you are. Jesus made you to be you. And you're different to the person next to you. Just like every animal and plant in creation, even when they're the same animal, are very different. Even something simple like a primrose or be different to the next one. We'll be different to the next one. We'll be different to the next one. So you can see in creation, God never desired everybody to become homogenized Christians. Here's another key. No matter our circumstances, and this can be a hard one. You think, I don't know if I'm there yet. That's all right. Start where you're at. In the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Thankfulness releases joy and releases happiness. There's always something to be thankful for. Even in the midst of things not seeming great, there's always things to be faithful for. Everyone, I think, in this room has a roof over their head and a warm place to sleep. Everyone in this place has had food this week and is wearing clothing. Everyone in this place has at least got the opportunity for good friends around. Be overflowing with thankfulness. It may seem almost childish. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my church. But it's not. It makes you strong. It's so easy to do the worldly thing of moaning about the things that are wrong. Instead of moaning about the things that are wrong, let's be thankful for the things that are working. And then the things that are wrong will actually line up as well, because we'll be living in Christ. Then a wise bit of advice from Paul. See to it, but while you're doing all this, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. There's an awful lot of stuff out there. Make sure it depends on Christ. It's not that we can't learn from the world, we sure can. But we also need to know it will take us away. So he says, don't be captive to this foreign teaching, which depends on worldly principles rather than Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and every authority. Every power and every authority is therefore subject to you. You are enough. I am enough. Why would we want to get caught up in what the world thinks when we have the fullness of God dwelling in us? Remember, I'm not saying all the world's rubbish. I'm not saying that at all. But compared to the wisdom of God, it's nothing. It will still be something to us. Obvious example is doctors and nurses and medical staff. It would be foolish to say they're not needed. It's irrelevant. But if we're living in the fullness of God, we'll see more and more healings, more and more miracles happening. And who wouldn't want that? You know, I'd much rather receive a miraculous healing than visit a doctor. But I'm not going to say I'm not going to go to the doctor. I've got to start where I'm at. For the same reason you might go and see a therapist or psychiatrist. You might listen to the wisdom of the world to help you take some steps forward, but you know you have the fullness of Christ. And that changes everything. Thank you. Holy Spirit minister to you right now. I am enough. I have been given the fullness of Christ. And everything else is a lie. It's part of the hollow and deceptive philosophy of the world, which, as it says here, takes you captive to its way of understanding, drags you away from the freedom and the happiness of following Jesus. Let God just anoint you with peace where you're sat right now. The Holy Spirit is here ministering to people in this room right now. There's healing going on in people's minds in this room right now. As you meditate on Christ, you realize you have taken on board some funny ways of looking at things that have come from the world, then just repent. Just say, I'm sorry, Lord. I've really been trusting in this, and actually, I need to trust in you. We all do it at times. We all take on these things. Paul mentions a couple of specific things that are, that distract people that come from the world. Here's one. He calls them a shadow of the things. He says, and this is a popular one today sometimes. Where have I got it? Here you go. Don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you from the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he's seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head from the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments, sinews, and grows as God causes it to grow. One of those many things you can get caught up with: the worship of angels, the belief in angels. Angels are real, but they're God's ministers, not ours. He sends them to minister to his people, but our focus is never angels. Our focus is always Jesus. And the reason that is because if we had it any other way, we too would begin to worship angels, because they are magnificent beings. And as such spiritual, powerful, amazing beings, if we were to focus on angels, we would end up worshipping them because they would seem so incredible. And that does what happens to people. They get fascinated by angels. And what begins as a fascination with angels leads into things that are not of God's Spirit. They get fed stuff into their minds, which is not angels at all, but others pretending to be angels. And they see themselves often as very spiritual. And as it says here, it's actually the opposite. Such person goes into great detail about what they've seen. As soon as someone starts going on and on and on about their spiritual experiences, the chances are they didn't have anything that was of God. Because those spiritual experiences that people do have are supposed to be between you and God, and you share them very carefully. And with fear and trepidation, actually. Because they're supposed to be personal for you. And we don't want anybody's focus to be removed from Jesus to experience it. We want spiritual experiences, but we don't want to end up worshipping them or puffing ourselves up by telling others of the spiritual experiences we've had, especially if we're talking about encounters with angels. It's a dangerous road to walk. It says so here. Thank you. says, don't let it disqualify you from the prize. So this worldly thinking is saying it's going to disqualify you from the very thing you were walking towards. I don't know whether that's rhetorical, as in don't let it, but it's not actually going to happen because God's going to pull you back. I don't know. But I do see people walk away from following Jesus because they get caught up in something else. In Christ, I am enough. Spirit to help these things become revelation. And then I'm going to do something else that I don't normally do now. I'm going to read to you something that I wrote. As you know, I normally just preach from the Word or an occasional presentation on the screen. But this is an email I wrote. Answering questions on I Am Enough. And at the top, I quoted the scripture that I just used. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. In Christ, I am enough. So this was written answering questions, and so I'm just going to read it, because there may be the questions that you've had. I am enough doesn't mean I am enough just as I am, therefore I will not do or change anything. Nor does it mean I am enough, therefore I have done everything I need to do, since that would make walking with God irrelevant. If this were the case, then everyone would remain babies and toddlers, or perhaps teenagers, in the faith for all their lives. I am enough means I am enough for what God has called me to do now. I am enough for today. God has prepared me for today, and I am enough for today. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. I think Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough trouble of its own. I am enough means I am enough for what God has called me to do now. I will start from here, wherever here is, because that is where I am at. It may look like for God to have called me to this, I should already be over there. In fact, it seems to me that some other people are already over there, and that can make me feel inadequate and ashamed that I'm not good enough. But if I think like that, it makes me feel like an ongoing failure, and shame, being nasty and pernicious, will then make me feel ashamed that I have been feeling a failure and ashamed. And so a downward cycle of shame can begin. Shame is so dirty, in that you feel ashamed, so then you feel ashamed that you're feeling ashamed, because you know you shouldn't feel ashamed because you've got fullness of Christ. It's so deceiving and so deceptive. We feel ashamed because we've got something that we fail in again and again and again. That's what Jesus paid for at the cross. So we don't have to feel that shame, and we learn to walk free of it. But it is a learning sometimes, and you fall back in. Well, the only thing to do is to get out. Forgiveness destroys that cycle of downward cycle of shame. God knows me. He already knew I would be here, and so I am enough for what He has called me to do now. It may seem hidden, but I have the fullness of Christ in me. However, for this to be revealed in all its glory, I will need training. I will need equipping. Because this is what life is, this fullness of life. This will cause me to grow and be happy that I am living as God has called me to live. God enables me to grow, but right now I am enough for right now. If I was transported a year ahead in time, I suppose I would not feel enough because I would have not had learning experiences, etc. But I would still have the fullness of Christ. But since I don't have time travel, if I wait daily to get to the future in the normal way, by the time I'm there, I will be enough. For good mental and spiritual health, I have to live secure in the understanding that I don't need to be someone else. I am me. And God knew that when He called me. He made me, me. He made me as me, and I am unique. And now the fullness of Christ is revealed through me, just as God has always revealed Himself through very different people. Paul, Peter, Daniel, Nehemiah, Isaiah, Moses, David, Ruth, Deborah, Mary. They all write of God, but they all write as themselves. Isaiah the prophet writes very differently to Jeremiah the prophet, but they were both prophets of God and got a whole book of their stuff. But they were still Jeremiah and Isaiah. You don't have to be someone else. Sure, there can be things about us that are not of God in the way they've been corrupted within us. But that's the journey of seeing those things change. But what happens is what they were really intended for and how they're really intended would flourish. For example, you can have a fantastic sense of humour that God gives you. But you can use a sense of humour to mock and ridicule people and put them down. I'm not talking about just having a laugh with friends. And then that sense of humour is not being used as God intended, but it's still your sense of humour and it's still a gift. And in Christ it will flourish again. It doesn't mean I've got to get rid of it completely. All of us, made in the image of God, I think we forget that sometimes. Even before we were saved, we were made in the image of God. And being God's masterpiece, as the Bible puts it. The real me will seem to evolve over time. For the real me has been hidden by feelings of shame and failure. So you're not really evolving, it's there, but it's just not being seen. What happens is that the real me is emerging from unbelief and toxic emotions like shame and fear. The real me learns to live in the fullness, for the real me is me in Christ. See, sometimes people say, oh, you've got to be real, but the real you is you in Christ. It is real to be an overcomer. It is real to live in victory. It is not real just to say I'm a failure and I'm ashamed. That's to dwell and live in that place is not real. As a Christian, the reality is you've been set free from that. It doesn't mean you lie and say I feel absolutely fine when you're not. But neither does it mean you expose yourself to every single person. We need wise people. So I don't need to feel ashamed that I am not good enough for this, because I am good enough. Jesus has made it so on the cross. I have all things in Christ. The resources for now are in me. In fact, the resources for everything you need is in you, because you have the fullness of Christ. Therefore, I don't need to keep me a secret. In fact, I will share who I am with people who can empathize, extort, and encourage me, so that I will grow in who I am in Christ. We're not supposed to do it alone. But you do need to be wise at who you talk to. Say you've been through something that means you've taken on shame, and you just need to talk to somebody about it so you can get rid of it. You don't go to the person that says, oh yeah, let me tell you, I went through something much worse than that, let me tell you. Because they've just completely invalidated what you were feeling. They'll tell you about their own battle with shame. That's not a person. Don't be that person either. Or they'll just say, or they'll try and fix it for you. I've gone, really, they did that? I'm going to have a word with them. I'm going to go and sort that. That's not going to help either. That wasn't what you were asking. You just wanted a bit of space. Someone to listen while you processed it and took on board. So, I'm enough to move forward. There are plenty of wrong thoughts and failings in me, but regardless, I am enough for today. Tomorrow, I will be enough for tomorrow, for God already has that sorted. He may tell me to do today things that prepare me for tomorrow. It may be time with Him, prayer, studying, visiting people, ministering in some way, relaxing with friends, making new friends, exercising, working, going to church, whatever. But He already has a plan to ensure that I am enough for what He has called me to do. If I decide to stay just as I am now for the rest of my life, then I suppose in that sense I would not be enough for the adventures ahead. But that actually never happens because God knows me. He already knew when I would and I wouldn't make wise decisions. Therefore, even if I have missed important training and developing opportunities, He already knew I would miss them. And so I am still enough to continue this journey as I am right now. The thing is, sometimes we can think, I really missed an opportunity for training there. That would have changed me. And we think, so therefore I failed. But the fact is, the learning experience is recognizing that you missed it. God knew you'd miss it. And you've learned to realize, I would have been better doing that, whatever that was. That's your learning experience. God knew you'd miss it, so it's fine. He knows the decisions you're going to make, so He's ready for you. You can't surprise Him. He already knew I would miss them, and so I am enough to continue this journey as I am right now. The journey itself is God's training, and each stage it will always be true, I am enough for this stage. I will always only be able to start where I'm at. Therefore, I am always enough, and I can remove from my life the pressure and shame that comes from feeling that I'm not good enough. Knowing that I am enough kills shame and depression and unhappiness in my life, allowing me to live happy. That is the peace, love, and joy of God flowing properly. Instead of feeling ashamed, I am free to love God and to love my neighbor as I love myself. It is hard to love myself if I am ashamed of myself. This is why we have to deal with shame. Imagine if Jesus had been ashamed of His ministry in some way. He could never have done what He did. He could never have reached out with complete compassion. If I cannot have compassion on myself, how much harder it is to have compassion on others. If I am ashamed of myself, how much harder it is to love God. Now, I will still have times, I know, when I am struggling with shame. But at these times, God will show me how to have that change too by trusting His word over the way I feel. It remains, however, even if I am struggling, that wherever I am, whatever I am feeling or believing, I can only start where I am at. Where I am, where I'm at does not surprise God, nor does it disappoint Him, nor is He disillusioned in me because He had no illusions in the first place. He already knew where I would be at this point in my life. Even missed opportunities are not truly missed, since He knew I would miss them. And the missing of them actually prepared me for the time when I would take new opportunities. Therefore, I will start from here. I am enough. Two scriptures. Anyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Let's believe the word of God, shall we? Here's another one. Went into this in depth on Thursday night. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, that's Jesus, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. The word's very clear. In Christ, I am enough. Let's just stand. you for helping me. You don't normally have to stand through all the word, a bit mean. And let's just worship the Lord. Not aggressively, not in any way, but just a sense of, I am enough. That's why you can go before God. You are enough. In Christ, I am enough. For in Christ, all the fullness dwells in me. All the fullness of God. I don't fully get that. I don't think I fully believe that. But I know it's here. I believe that it's here. I believe that it's true. But I think my life would be flowing even more if I truly and 100% grabbed it. Do you see what I mean? I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm just saying it's really hard to believe that. But I'm enough. I'm going to grow in that. I am like Jesus in this world, despite me. But that's okay, because I'm supposed to be me in Christ. And he puts a robe of righteousness around my shoulders. And puts a ring on my finger that says, you are part of my family. Hallelujah. Let's worship. Let's worship Jesus. Just come before him. I don't know if you're going to be thankful, or if you're going to praise. Do whatever you need to do. Just know, you can say before him, I am enough because of what you've done for me. Thank you, Jesus.
I cast my crown before you. in the beauty of your holiness. My heart cries out to you.
This is a great verse, but what are we singing? I cast my crown before your throne. What does it mean? It's the element of, or the reality of, everything that we've ever done is all in Christ. And so, everything we've done that's been successful, or even not successful really, we're just throwing everything at the feet of Jesus because it belongs to Him. It's a complete surrender to Him. For everyone in this room, you can cast your crown before Him because you've all said yes to Christ. If you haven't said yes to Christ, then this morning would be a good time to do that. But if you have, you can throw your crown before Him. It's not throwing it away. It's just saying, I'm surrendering to you. I give my all to you. And here in the beauty of holiness, why is holiness beautiful? Because everyone in Christ belongs there. It's beautiful because all the people of God are there, knowing that they are set free from fear and shame, and sin and sickness. In the beauty of your holiness, my heart cries out to you. And then you go back to that other part of just lifting up Jesus. Because the focus, even when we're saying, I am enough, the focus is not, I am enough. The focus is still Jesus. The reason I am enough is Jesus. The reason I can be who I am is Jesus. The reason I can start from where I am today is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He's the reality. He is the victory. He is the overcomer. And I am in Him. Hallelujah. So let's cast our crowns before Him and let's worship Jesus.
I cast my crown before your throne. I give my all to you. In the beauty of your holiness. My heart cries out to you.
I cast my crown.
I cast my crown before your throne. I give my all to you. In the beauty of your holiness. My heart cries out to you, Jesus.
Exalted.
not have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. I do not have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. I am not ashamed, for I am in Christ, and the shame I feel is pernicious and evil, and I choose to leave it at the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ, where I am forgiven. I repent of carrying shame by myself, thinking I needed to. I repent of being afraid to be who you've created me to be, because I was ashamed of that. I repent of avoiding being me for fear that it was not good enough. For I believe that I am good enough in Christ. I believe I am not ashamed in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you no longer hang on that cross, because you are sat in victory in heaven. And I too live in that victory on this planet. Day by day, I live in the fullness of Christ. And Jesus, forgive me, because I know I don't understand that completely, but I do believe it. And I do believe it becomes a greater and greater revelation daily of what it is to be full in Christ. Forgive me, Lord, when I allow my past to pull me away from heaven. Forgive me, Lord, when I allow shameful things that have been spoken over me by other people to pull me away from you. Because you are the Word. You are the truth. You are the life. Not what they said, not what they did, not what they thought, not even what they did to me. Even though you carry shame because of what others have done to you and have said over you, know that that shame too was dealt at the cross and removed from your body. You felt that shame was almost part of your flesh, and it is removed at the cross, because you have been redeemed. You have been bought back. And you are precious in God's sight, before you cost the life of Jesus Christ. So by the grace of God, don't deny what he did for you by sinking back into that shame. But allow his victory to rise in you. Be thankful, for that will release happiness. Be thankful for what you have today, for that will release the joy of the Lord in your life. Remember, when you're weak, that is actually the Lord's strength, because when we are weak, we know this is all beyond me. I can only do this in Christ. Strength is sometimes the very thing that takes us away from God. The person who feels capable is the one that can walk away without noticing from Jesus. So when you feel I can't, rejoice, because you know you can only do it in Christ. And that is a strong place to be. The best worship leaders are the ones that know they can't do it, because they can only do it in Christ. The best baristas are the ones that know, I cannot do this, I cannot cope with this day except in Christ. The best speakers, the best preachers are the ones that know they cannot preach except in Christ. In Christ, I am enough. Amen. Be blessed. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.